Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Well, it's hard to believe that we're a few short weeks away from Easter. It seems like it was just Christmas, right? This whole year has been flying, and soon we'll be celebrating Resurrection Sunday on Easter. The Lenten season started back on Valentine's Day this year. It was aligned with Valentine's Day. Started on Ash Wednesday, and we've been talking about this on Wednesday night with Pastor Vicky in our Bible study. But the Lenten season is really meant to be an opportunity for us as the people of God to prepare ourselves for Resurrection Sunday, to prepare ourselves spiritually, to be prepared to observe the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. So over the next several weeks, leading up to Easter, we're going to be focusing, quite simply, on preparing our hearts, preparing our spirits to celebrate Easter Sunday. It's the ultimate Sunday of the church calendar, Easter Sunday. And one of the things that has really just kind of simply filtered into my heart over the past several weeks as I've been studying the Word is that Easter is for people just like us. Easter is for people just like us. Jesus came and He died for people just like you and me. For people just like you and me. So I really think it's kind of appropriate over the next several Sundays as we anticipate Easter that we focus on some of the people that are just like us in the Easter story. Some of the people just like us that we find in the story of Christ's journey to the cross. So my objective as your pastor over the next couple of weeks is to get us ready for Easter, to focus our hearts and our minds through the preaching of the Word. And my hope is that we will all grow by realizing that people just like us were part of the Easter story. People just like you and me were part of the Easter Passion. They have the same challenges. I think we'll find that they have the same choices that we have. And just like they play a role in the Easter story that we read in Scripture, we play a role in this Easter story too. Because you see, the story doesn't end when Jesus ascends into heaven. The story continues to be written on the hearts and minds of men and women and children who call Jesus their Savior. You're part of this story. You're part of this narrative of Jesus Christ and what He's doing in the world to redeem the world and change the world and draw people back to the living God. So I'm amazed at, as we start this little journey off on the next couple of weeks, I'm amazed at how different each of my three sons are. And I have a slide up here. This family, look at that. Aww. The cases. I'm really amazed at how different my three boys are. They all, and they're not boys, they're men now. They all shave. So, and some of them shave more than I do. I think it's amazing. I couldn't grow a beard if I tried my hardest. And they like wake up in the morning and they're like Moses. They're all unique. They all have unique similarities, but they are, and they have a lot of things in common. As I watch Andrew's grown up. Andrew's going to graduate from high school in a couple weeks. And as I watch Andrew, I catch glimpses of Curtis and Andrew. It's really odd. You people with multiple kids, you know what I'm talking about here. When I observe Stephen and I kind of watch Stephen do his thing, I observe glimpses of Andrew and Stephen. And when I watch them all, I really see myself, which is really scary. I see glimpses of myself. I see glimpses of their mother. I mean, Stephen standing up here singing this morning, he didn't get that from me, Nelson. He didn't get that from me. But they have all these different similarities. They're my boys. They're my sons. I love them. And they've got a lot of unique features, but they're all so very different also. They're all unique in very cool ways. They each have unique gifts. They all have unique personalities. They all have unique strengths. And that fills them with this unique potential in their lives. And as I think about Steve and Drew graduating here from high school and college in the next couple of weeks, they're realizing this potential in their lives. And it's just really kind of cool to see their similarities and differences play out. They're similar, but they're each unique in their own special way. And one of the things that makes them different from each other are the choices that they make individually. We all have our own story, and our stories are defined by the choices that we make in our lives. And I think we see this play out in Jesus' disciples. I think as we begin to look at the Easter story, we see that all the disciples are very similar in nature. They're all similar, but they're all unique too. And that uniqueness that separates them, some of it is based on the choices that they make. So we're going to pick this up this morning in Mark chapter 14. I'd ask you to turn to Mark chapter 14 with me. Mark chapter 14, we're going to start in verse 3, and we're talking about a very familiar story this morning of the anointing of Jesus at Bethany as he's preparing this journey to the cross to purchase our salvation. Mark chapter 14, verse 3, would you stand with me this morning? So we read God's word together. Mark chapter 14, we're starting in verse 3. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of nard, pure nard. She broke the jar, she poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages. And the money could have been given to the poor." And they rebuked the woman harshly. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you. And you can help them anytime you want. But you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priest to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted to hear this and promised to give Judas money. So he watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over. Father, we thank you for this word this morning. We thank you for the service so far. And I just pray, Father, that you would center our hearts on this word and on this moment. Give us ears to hear what you want to tell us this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. There are a lot of people just like us in this story. There are a lot of characters in this story who are just like us. We could focus this morning on Simon the leper, who was the host of this party. We could take a couple moments this morning. We could focus our attention on the woman who poured the perfume out on Jesus. But instead of focusing on them today, I want to spend a few moments focusing on Judas Iscariot. I want us to take a couple of moments this morning to focus on Judas. Judas is the character in the story that we all look down with disdain at. We kind of look down our nose at Judas, right? He's the bad guy. He's the traitor. He's the Benedict Arnold of this story. He betrays Jesus. If this were a cowboy movie, anybody fan of Westerns? Oh yeah, the old black and white Westerns. If this were a cowboy movie, Judas would wear a black hat. Okay? Judas would wear a black hat, and he would have a black shirt, and he would have a black horse, because the black hat guys in the old black and white Westerns, the black hat guys were the bad guys in the story, right? But if we're honest, so we look down at Judas, he's the bad guy, he's the black hat, but if we're honest with ourselves, he's just like us. Judas is just like us, or a version of who we are before we met Jesus and before Jesus entered into our lives. As we look at Judas in this story, his heart obviously was not aligned with Jesus. He was not aligned with Christ. We know that Judas was the treasurer, right? We know that that was his role in the group. He was the treasurer for the group. He looked after the money. And I don't think it's out of the question. It doesn't tell us who says it in this story, but I think that it's really safe to conclude that Judas was probably one of the people in this story that said, "What is she doing with this perfume? She's wasting it. We could have sold that and put the money in the treasury, and we could have helped the poor with that money. Now, it doesn't tell us specifically it was Judas, but I think it's a fair assumption that we could say that one of the people saying that was Judas. He was more concerned with earthly things than he was with Jesus things. He had his heart more aligned on earthly things, and his heart was aligned on himself more than it was on Jesus. As a matter of fact, I think it is safe for us to say that as we watch Judas in this story and as we observe the decision that he makes in this particular episode, you know, if we were like binging through Netflix, this would be episode 13, and this is the one where Judas betrays Jesus. In this particular episode, I think it's safe to say that his decision to betray Jesus, it outs Judas. It reveals that he may look like he's one of the disciples. He may have an official title as the treasurer of their group. He's got responsibility. But in reality, he's revealed as a person who's looking out for number one. Regardless of what he says he is, and this may sound familiar based on what we've talked about over the past couple of weeks, he may say he's one thing, but underneath it all, he's really just out for himself. He's really out for number one. We give Judas a bad rap. We give him a bad rap because he's the bad guy in the story, and I think that's deservedly so. But he wasn't that much unlike the other disciples in the story. He wasn't that much unlike the other disciples. When the hammer falls and the soldiers come to arrest Jesus, we all know how this story is going to play out. You know, we all know what's going to happen. The soldiers come, they arrest Jesus, the disciples scatter. And they kind of fade into the background. They disappear from this story. Even Peter, upon whom I will build my church, Jesus says, Peter, even Peter, who tried to defend Jesus with the sword and he cut the chief priest's assistant's ear off, even Peter wound up denying Christ 3 times that night. At the end of the day, Jesus was left alone. At the end of the day, he was standing there all by himself. Judas had betrayed him, but there wasn't anybody else standing around, standing up for Jesus either. They had all scattered. He was alone. They had all abandoned him. Judas was just the first to turn. Judas was just the first to run. But every single one of them followed him to some degree down a similar path of abandoning Jesus when he was arrested. So when we look at all the disciples, even though they all have the same plot twist in their story, they all have a moment where they turn and ran. When the heat was on, they turned and ran. They all have drastically different endings to their story. They drastically have different trajectories for how their stories play out in the Passion story. Tragically, in Matthew 27, we read that Judas, he takes his own life. He takes his own life when he comes to his senses. It's like there's this moment he betrays Jesus, and there's this moment when he comes to his senses and he realizes what he has done, and he's filled with guilt and regret and this sense of helplessness. And in effect, he didn't know what to do. So Judas takes his own life, but Peter, we know Peter was reinstated by Jesus. Peter was reinstated by the resurrected Christ. People just like us. You know, we read these stories and we like to, oh, I would be on Team Peter. Nobody wants to be on Team Judas, right? People just like us, similar challenges, similar choices, different outcomes based on the choices that they make in response to Jesus. Why is that? Why did they respond so differently? What differentiates Peter from Judas? I think it's pretty simple. Judas lacked hope. Judas lacked hope. Judas could not foresee a future in which, knowing what he did, where Jesus could forgive him or he could forgive himself. He was without hope. He could not see a future where he could be forgiven for his betrayal. Hope is powerful. Remember, we talked earlier about how hope is forward-looking. It's something to look forward to. Hope is powerful. Hope is all about having something to lean on, to know that there's something out there that will help me get through what I'm going through right now. This past week, actually it was a week ago Saturday, powerful moment happened in the Case household. It's been about 8 months since these two kids have gone to Tennessee for vacation. And last Saturday, I booked our date in April to go to Tennessee. I have hope. I cannot tell you how that transformed my day last Saturday, because I had a rough week going into it, and I just felt like, wow, we need to get this booked because everybody else is planning vacations and we really need to go recharge our batteries or your pastors are going to fizzle out. We're going to burn out. So we booked some time for the two of us to go to our place in the mountains. And as soon as I booked that, I cannot tell you how my perspective changed, because I had something to look forward to. I know that in the second week of April, I'm going to be sitting on a mountain somewhere in Tennessee, and I don't care if it's raining, I don't care if it's 50 degrees, I'm going to be taking in that mountain air. I need it. It recharges my batteries. It rejuvenates me. It gave me hope. It gave me hope. Hope is powerful. This week I read a story in the Columbus Dispatch, front page story, and it was about a study being conducted by the people at Nationwide Children's Hospital. They treat a lot of sick kids at Nationwide Children's Hospital from all over the globe. And they do a lot of research. They do a ton of research there to create treatments and cures for kids. It's very cool, some of the things that they do. But this story in the Columbus Dispatch, it wasn't about a new treatment. It wasn't about a new cure. They have found, at Nationwide Children's, they found a correlation between some kids who have their wishes fulfilled and remission rates. And we've kind of got a Make-A-Wish kid in our own church with PJ. But they found this correlation in some kids. They know if they have their wish fulfilled, there's this weird correlation with their remission rates. Remission is when the disease symptoms go dormant. It may not mean we're fully cured, but it's a good thing, right? Short of a cure, you want to be in remission if you have cancer or leukemia or any other type of degenerative disease. And the headline to this story was, some sick kids who have dreams fulfilled get better. Some sick kids who have their dreams fulfilled get better. And I thought I'd pull a part of this story this morning for it and read it to you. Reading time with Pastor Joe. I feel like I need my robe and my chair this morning. Deshaun Martin was in the eighth grade when the epileptic seizures started. There were so many that the Northside teen had to give up football, basketball, and baseball, and was only able to go to school for a couple of hours each day. His friends didn't understand, and he didn't know how to explain it, so he shut everybody out of his life. His doctor at Nationwide Children's Hospital tried a number of treatments, but Deshaun, he kept going downhill. Then in his freshman year of high school, the seizures just stopped. Freshman year, the seizures just stopped. The recovery came when Deshaun and his family were sent on a Make-A-Wish trip to Los Angeles, where the teen and his family met NBA player Chris Paul, then of the Los Angeles Clippers. Dr. Anup Patel, chief of neurology, this is the chief of neurology at Nationwide Children's Hospital, he called it an amazing turnaround with no apparent explanation medically whatsoever. Patel was so wowed by Deshaun's case that he decided to take a closer look at all the different patients at Nationwide Children's Hospital who had been granted wishes, comparing them with kids who had not. And again, he was like blown away by his findings. He's quoted in the story saying, "We found that if you were a wish kid compared to not a wish kid, you were 2 or 3 times more likely to have less hospital visits, less emergency department visits, and lower healthcare costs." And the doctor was like, this is pretty amazing. And you know, when I read that story, I was like, the power of a wish granted is the power of hope. The power of a wish granted, or knowing that a wish is going to be granted, is the power of hope. When we have hope in our lives, it is transformative, regardless of the circumstances that we find ourselves facing. But when we lose hope in our lives, that can pull the rug out from underneath us. It can be devastating when we lose hope. Think about it. Hope allows us to endure pain. We sang that word endures this morning in the worship. I love the overlap between the worship and the sermon this morning. Hope allows us to endure pain. It allows us to endure times of suffering, the hard times, because we know that there's something better coming. We know that it's not always going to be like it is right now. Hope enables us. It enables us to put up with a lot in our lives. Hope enables us to tolerate a lot of bad stuff that happens in our lives. And I see heads nodding around the sanctuary. People are, that's so true. Hope enables us to put up with a lot. Hope enables us the ability to forgive ourselves. Hope in Jesus enables us to forgive ourselves for our past mistakes, no matter how big they are. It's under the blood of Jesus Christ. Hope gives us a sense of purpose and meaning and motivation in our lives when we have hope. I don't know why bad things are happening to me right now, but I know I have a hope that this is not all there is. There's got to be something more than what I'm living for right now, and my hope in Jesus Christ allows me to endure. It enables me to move forward in the midst of the hard times because I know that He has been faithful to me in the past. He is going to be faithful to me in the future, and I'm not going to allow my circumstances to define me. I'm defined by the hope that I have in Jesus Christ. Amen. So the question for us this morning, as we evaluate our lives, as we're stepping into preparing our hearts and our minds for Easter, are we allowing our lives to be defined by the hope we have in Jesus Christ? Are we allowing our lives to be defined by the hope we have in Jesus? Or are we allowing our lives to be defined by some past transgression or some hardship that we're going through right now? The tragedy of Judas is that he opted to end his story before he could see that there was hope for his redemption. That's the tragedy of that story. Is he turned out the lights before he realized that there could have been redemption. I believe there could have been redemption even for Judas. Peter turned his back on Jesus. The other disciples, they turned their backs on Christ. They scattered. They abandoned him. Peter denied him three times, and yet Peter was redeemed through the hope he found when he met the risen Savior. One of our teens asked me a few weeks ago, Sunday night, we do this Maplewood Next Gen thing, and we have these disadvantaged teens come in, and I love them to death. They have no background in the church. They have no idea who Jesus is. And Julie, I don't know if you were there that Sunday night, but one of them asked me, why does any of this Jesus stuff matter? I mean, they're asking hard questions. They're asking, why does any of this Jesus stuff matter? And it was one of those questions where, as the pastor, I should have had a really quick comeback. But I was kind of caught off guard by it. And when I started to think about it, I think the answer is pretty simple. This Jesus stuff, the story of Christ, the story of Easter matters because it gives us hope. It matters because it gives us hope. Hope. Easter is all about hope. Hope for people just like us. Aren't you glad about that? As we prepare our hearts for this Easter season, I'm asking you to join me. Join Pastor Vicky. Join one another. Let's choose hope. Let's live into the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Our situations are not too far gone. There's hope. The grace of Jesus extends to every single one of us. In Maplewood, I want you to hear it this morning. If I could go through the entire sanctuary and I could tailor it specifically for every single one of you today, I would want to personalize it. And I would want to remind you as your pastor this morning that the story of Easter, the hope of Easter, is for you. Amen. And it's for you. Amen. And it's for you and you and you and you. It is for you this morning. I think sometimes we get so busy with life and we get so busy with doing church that we forget that we are part of the story that Jesus is living out in this world. We are part of this Easter story if we call Him Savior. And we need to make sure that we're seeing ourselves in the story. We are no different than Judas. We are no different than Peter in terms of the fact that we're all following Jesus or call ourselves followers of Jesus. What distinguishes us are the choices that we make. Are we choosing to live into the hope of Jesus Christ this morning personally? Not just lip service, but is it real? Is it authentic? Is it genuine in our lives? The grace of Jesus extends to us all, regardless of your past, folks. And when I say regardless of your past, I'm talking about the bad stuff you've done, but I'm also talking to us if we've been in the church for our whole lives. It's personal. Is it personal between you and Jesus this morning? Are we living into the hope that has been purchased for people just like us? Edward Mote wrote a song many years ago. We're going to sing it this morning as we go out. It's one of my favorites. And the words of the first verse go like this. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not to trust on the sweetest frame, but I wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Would you stand with me this morning? That's our walk away. That's our takeaway for this morning. Easter is all about hope for people just like us. And my question for you this morning, is it personal? Because it was purchased and wrought for people just like you and just like me. Lord, if there's anybody here today, this morning, standing here who's heard this message and says in their heart, I don't have that hope, but I want it. Lord, may they pray this prayer with me right now. Jesus, thank you for thinking about me. I've never realized that my story's been a part of your story until now. Forgive me for my sinfulness. Some days I feel like I'm worse than Judas. I don't want to be the bad guy in my story anymore. I want to be white as snow. And I know that your blood was shed for me this morning. I realize that it was shed for me because you want to restore my relationship with God, and this sin and all this junk in my life is getting in the way. This morning, Jesus, I want to freely accept the hope that comes from following you by calling you my personal Savior. Lord, wipe away my sin from the past. Help me forget it too. Plant a seed in my heart, Lord, that grows. I want to be like you. I want to be a person of love. I don't want to be a person who's always out for number one. I want my heart to be aligned with your will. I want to grow to be Christ-like, even though I may not fully understand what that looks like this morning. But I have faith based on how I see you working in other people's lives. I have faith that you can do this morning, that you can give me a new hope, that you can change the trajectory of my life. I want to be able to say that on Christ, the solid rock I stand, and everything else is sinking sand. Save me now, Jesus. Save me again, Jesus. Sanctify me this morning, Lord, as I put my whole life, heart, soul, mind, and will under your authority. Purge out of me any sinfulness and fill me with your Holy Spirit. change the trajectory of my story so that I can be an influence for your kingdom to others and so I can live into this hope that I read about in this book that I'm finding out today is for people just like me. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for this hope. I pray that you would move forward with me in my life so I can be the person you always intended me to be, not this flawed person with all this stuff going on. Help me to endure. Enable me to overcome as I live into this hope. It's in your name I pray this morning. And all God's people said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.